Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Hopefully you're ready for the weekend. It is Friday. It is Friday the 13th. Make sure you carry your lucky rabbit's foot with you today. What are we talking about today? Well, I owe you some things. I owe you that Power 10. I'll put some money in your pocket. Lamar Jackson's good. He's really good. We'll talk about that as well. Janoris Jenkins, his tweet got him cut. What are your thoughts? He said what he said was more of a, what he would say growing up culturally. And I don't know about that. There's a lot of things we do culturally. A lot of things we grow up with. A lot of things we say to our friends. A lot of things that we said in the past that we just don't say now. Anyway, we'll get into all that. Do have to jump out today, so today's show will be a little abbreviated. I do apologize going into the weekend, but on assignment a little bit later. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. We are brought to you by the one, the only, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School, locally in Chandler. Get over there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You get in there, let them know that PLR sent you down there. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Yesterday, we were there for Cigars with the Cave Show. And as the owner, Ron Harden, told you, there's about 30 lockers left, so there's still time for you to become a club member. Make sure you are there tomorrow for the release of their new house cigar. It is a Rocky Patel. It is the Faro cigar. It's a beautiful cigar, a great smoking cigar. So make sure that you definitely get down there. It's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, Chandler Heights and Alma School, now serving beer and wine, the place to be. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. This is the Cave Show PLR. This is PLR. Like I said, we have some things to get into today. All calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. I do want to get in all the calls I can real quick. I do have a caller on hold. I appreciate your patience. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Lou, what up, buddy? How are you doing?
All right. Well, we got a big day tomorrow in college football as the Heisman Trophy will be handed out.
It will be. Also, another big thing is going on tomorrow. Army-Navy.
Yeah. That's true. The last college game of the year. Regular season,
yep,
that is.
The Heisman Trophy, honestly, that's a formality. We know who won. Borges.
We know.
Won the award. Yeah, this is just a Lou, I'm really getting sick of this stuff. And I'm being honest. I understand that everything starts with the quarterback. I understand they're the most important person on the field. I get all that. But it's starting to get real old. And I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it. I think there should be two awards. There should be a Heisman Award for football players, but you can't include the quarterback, and there should be a top quarterback. Because the only person that wins the Heisman now are quarterbacks. The only person that wins the MVP in the NFL is a quarterback.
A quarterback.
So give a special award and stop pretending like no one else on the field matters at all.
That's true. Why should they give it to a quarterback? I mean, he's not the only person on the team. You know, there's halfbacks, there's running backs, fullbacks.
Well,
you know,
there's defensive players. There's defensive players. So, I think it's kind of getting kind of old, in my opinion. I mean, I think it's. Look, I'm not begrudging anyone that wins it by any stretch. I don't want it to sound like I am, but it's not really an award for the rest of the football anymore. It's an award for quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's not right.
You know, and I hate to use the word fair because I tell my kids, fair is, you know, where you judge a pig. But last year it was Kyler. 2 years ago it was Baker Mayfield. 3 years ago it was Lamar Jackson. Derrick Henry won as a running back in 2015, but before him, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Johnny Manziel, Robert Griffin, Cam Newton. You know, and then you go back, and then you finally, okay, let's get another running back in there with Mark Ingram. But then it's Sam Bradford, Tim Tebow, Troy Smith. You know, Reggie Bush got one, but then it was Matt Leinart, Jason White, Carson Palmer, Eric Crouch,
yes.
Chris Winkie. So in 20 years, we've had three players that aren't running backs. I think I've made my point.
I think you're right. There's, you know, because the quarterback does not dominate the whole team.
Right, and I'm not one of those people that say, you know, that it's going to begrudge them. I think they are that important because they touch the ball every single play. I get it. I really do get it. But then if you're going to do that, if that's what we're going to do, let's give them a special award. And we should know by now that college, and the pros, they mirror each other. 2000, Marshall Faulk won the MVP. In 2005, Sean Alexander, won the MVP. In 2006, Damian Tomlinson won the MVP. Those are the only three in the last 20 years in the NFL to win the MVP because it always goes to a quarterback.
Yes.
So that's the only reason. Now, if you look back over time, here's what's funny with the MVP. If you just start in the 70s, Alan Page won it, defense. Larry Brown won it. No, we're not still on the quarterbacks. O.J. Simpson won it. Kenny Stabler won it. Then Fran Tarkenton. Then Burt Jones. Then Walter Payton. Terry Bradshaw. Earl Campbell. Half the awards went to someone else. Now, that's gone. So let's just give the quarterbacks their due. Let's just say, hey, here's your award. But anyway, I took that a lot longer than I'm sure you intended me to.
No, but you know what? You are right. You know, because it just seems like, you know, it always goes to the quarterback, and, you know, we keep figuring why. And I remember when Bradshaw was a Sportsman of the Year in 79 for Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, it's just different. Like I
yes,
said,
I'm that old.
I'm not begrudging him. Yeah, hey, look, I'm right with you. I remember Walter Payton won it. I'm not begrudging quarterbacks. I don't begrudge them with money. But I don't think their salary cap percentage should be part of the team salary cap. If you're the only person on the team you're willing to pay $40 million to as a quarterback, but they're eating up all the money for the rest of the team, give them their own part of the contract. Say the quarterback should get, you know, here's $45 million that we're going to give quarterbacks. Now, if you go over that, you pull from the rest of the team. But if you have a great one, you pay him $40, pay the other one $5. I don't really give a crap. You know, maybe you have two. Maybe you have one that's not that good and you don't use it all, then you don't use it all. But I think it's time that we figure out a way to make every other player just as valuable as the guy that we're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
That's back there running it. And I know they touch the ball every time. I understand that. But if you don't have a good defense, you don't win. See Dan Marino if you don't believe me.
All right. Exactly.
So, that's my take.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if you know this yesterday, but former NBA Commissioner David Stern will be taken to a hospital for a hemorrhage.
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to say that in my opening. You know, prayers to him and his family. That
yeah.
was weird, you know, at a restaurant in New York. And unfortunately, hopefully he pulls through. He, commissioner of the NBA from 1984 to 2014. And people down here in Phoenix sometimes got mad at him because of the suspensions that he set. The people in New York, I know, got mad at him because of the suspensions that he set. But under David Stern, the NBA grew from a sport that showed its NBA finals on tape delay to a league
yeah.
that grew by seven teams, became a worldwide phenomenon, introduced
mm-hmm.
the Dream Team to the Olympics, and now is partly because of his vision and a vision and basketball being, in my opinion, such a great sport.
Oh,
it's now become the second most. It's the second most popular sport in the world behind soccer. So a lot of that has to do with his ideas of growing the game, not just here. He could see how this sport could do a lot of things overseas. And we're looking at a lot of the influences that are in the NBA now and in the last few years where, you know, the gap is closing with some of the talented players that are here. And a lot of that is due to David Stern and his vision of making basketball a global sport. Look at the NBA now. There are games being played
yeah.
in Mexico all through this week. The Phoenix Suns are in Mexico tomorrow playing the San Antonio Spurs. The Dallas Mavericks played Detroit in Mexico City yesterday. So a lot of that has
I
to
don't
do
get
with
that
the
one. I get the other two because, you know, it has a Mexican population, but the third one, not so much.
Dallas and Detroit? Well,
oh, Dallas,
yeah.
Detroit, not so much.
Yeah. Well, they got to play somebody. You know what I mean? They're not going to play around.
That's true.
excuse me, around Robin. But it's the growing of the game. And unlike, do you remember when the NFL used to play a couple games in Mexico City and it was always
yes,
the Cowboys because the Cowboys had their imprint or now they play the games over in London and they always send the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they're popular over there now because of that. NBA is
mm-hmm.
different. Think about that, Lou. The NBA don't just send a team that's quote-unquote popular there. They want you to be popular. They want to get other teams popular. Now, I know they're showing the Pelicans and the Lakers 18 million times on national TV this year, but they also show the Atlanta Hawks on NBA TV. They also show
yes.
all the other teams because their theory is, we're going to market our players as much as we're going to market our game. And if we do that, then look at how we will grow. And they're different. They see all the possibilities, not just some of them, but all of them.
Right. Because that's what makes that league grow interesting.
Yep.
Like you can say for
yep.
baseball, which only seems to work in the big cities.
Well, because that's the way they set it up, unfortunately.
Hmm. What do you want?
You know, unfortunately,
Fox.
That's... Yeah. Oh, and MLB Network. I mean, let's be honest. In ESPN, we can watch the Yankees play the Red Sox all 38 times. But if another team
right.
is good and they're sneaking in there, we don't see them. Minnesota was a great story last year. It was a great story. How many times did ESPN or MLB say, let's move a game around and throw them on so people can get to know them? Because everyone knows what's going to happen in Minnesota. They may be good for a year, but all their great players, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Angels, the Cubs, and the Cardinals are going to swoop in and take them.
Although the Red Sox didn't have a good year in 2019.
Yeah, but they have that entity, especially their rivalry with the Yankees. And
right.
but that's what happened. You don't see guys Gerrit Cole leaving Houston to all of a sudden go play for, you know, the Minnesota Twins, the Kansas City Royals. You don't see that. That doesn't happen.
No.
No, baseball is a whole different beast. That's why it's become a regional sport, unfortunately.
Yeah, who'd have thought?
Yep, who'd have thought?
Not me.
Great game, though. Still love it.
Yes, of course.
They love baseball. Yep.
Which is so they can resolve their problems before the labor agreement expires.
Exactly. Yep, or how many people will get paid before?
Well, if you keep going with these $300 gazillion contracts, I don't know what to make of that.
It tells you that they're not in a bad financial situation. So when owners cry poverty, remind them of that.
You mean they lie?
Really? Would that happen?
I wouldn't put it past it.
Owners lie in sports?
Yeah, who'd have thought, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it, my friend.
So who do you got for – so you're going to go with Burrow, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I thought so.
I don't think there's a – honestly, I don't think there's even an outside chance of anyone else winning. That
not
was
even
the,
Chase?
When they beat the hell out of Alabama, that was it. That was it. Beating Georgia was just the formality. When they beat Alabama, that was a wrap. So that was it. And when you look, and let's be honest, when you look, I know what Chase did, but at the same time, he was suspended for 2 games, so that's going to hurt him a little bit.
Mm.
And then there's really no other. You're the top quarterback on the number one team in the country that played in the SEC conference, that beat Alabama, that's playing for a national title. Tell me anyone else's resume meets that.
No one I know.
There's your Heisman Trophy winner.
I thought so. I think most of us can agree that it's going to go to Burrow.
Yeah, Joe's winning that one.
Yeah. Cleaned up at the awards last night, too.
Well, he's going to be cleaning up in Cincinnati because they're going to end up taking him with the first pick.
2 words to say about that? I'm sorry.
Was about to say the same thing. But, hey, someone's got to do that job.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's see what they can do with him.
Yep. Or to him.
I think Tua should stay another year.
No. Rehab on the pros dime. No. Rehab on the pros dime. Do not rehab on Alabama dime. If you get hurt one more time, you will be undraftable.
I get it. Okay, I get the point there. So if he doesn't go to the Bengals, where would he go? I'm talking Tua now.
You know the best situation for Tua? Fall to like 23 and go to the Patriots. Everyone thinks you want to be the number one pick when you're a quarterback. In all actuality, yes, money-wise, you do, because you make a whole lot more money. But I'm going to ask you a question. If Lamar Jackson was drafted number one overall, would he be in this situation with a team and a coach that redid their entire offensive structure to fit him? Or would he have been thrown into a situation where they want him to be a stand-up, upright, 6'5", stand in a pocket, throw the ball real tall, give the company handshake? But they want that because he wouldn't have got to sit as long as he got to sit last year. He would have been just rushed in. Look at Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, number one pick overall. By the time the preseason, before it could be over, Cleveland was clamoring for him to start because he was number one pick. Kyler Murray, when he was drafted by the Cardinals, there wasn't any doubt that he was going to start. And when you look at this team, they would have did better with a veteran quarterback to start and let him grow a little bit, but you don't get that opportunity. So for Tua, if he's rehabbing and he goes for a team that already has a bridge quarterback, how much better will he be off? Will he be than going to Cincinnati and having to start week one?
Right.
So sometimes it's a blessing in disguise if you're not there, because you'll go to a better team. Lamar Jackson made the playoffs his first time around. Look at Baker Mayfield. We all forget Baker sat. Not Baker Mayfield. What's my kid? The kid in Kansas City. He sat a whole year. He sat a whole year before Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes sat an entire year behind Alex Smith. Why? Because he went to a playoff team, so he got to grow. It really makes a difference.
Yeah, apparently it does.
Makes a big difference. Thrown right in to a bad team, you are now the savior. And if you don't, if you're not performing right away, hey, look, in Chicago, we're giving Mitch Trubisky hell. Why? Because he had a good year last year, but he wasn't ready. There was a lot of games.
No.
He only played 12 college games. Last year was a lot of gimmicks, and defense carried the Bears through. And you have a coach that's finally figuring out how to play the guy. Well, if they had a solid guy his first year that he could sit and learn from, maybe that would have changed. If he got to play a preseason, maybe that would change. The defense, the team that you go to, if you're expected to be the savior, it's a lot different. A lot different.
Yes.
So I think it'll help Tua.
Okay, I'll leave it at that.
All right, my friend. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Talk to you Monday. Good friend of the program, Lou. Couple quick things I want to get into before we jump up out of here. We'll do it in 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
This just in, the Arizona Cardinals have waived, cut Terrell Suggs. Suggs was a standout locally in Chandler at Hamilton High School, then went on to ASU, had a great career with the Baltimore Ravens, a Hall of Fame career. He's a definite first ballot in. He signed a one-year deal with the Cardinals last March for $7 million, and the Cardinals have waived him. Cliff Kingsbury, the Cardinals head coach, said the move was best for both parties, as it gives Arizona a chance to play young guys. So here again, I'm going to ask this question. You go out. This is where the Cardinals kill me. You go out and you bring in this vet, and you know it's for a one-year deal. And now you're cutting him when you're losing. Is this what he wanted? Because to me, if you were going to cut him, why not cut him if at a time where you still find time with the playoff team? That is absolutely crazy. Don't understand the Cardinals. I don't. Yesterday, I harped on over and over again how Steve Kahn has to be let go. He has to be let go. His vision for this team and the reality of this team, they just never meet. They never match. There are two things that don't match. They always have peanut butter and no jelly. They always have ham and no burger. They have pool, but they don't have water in it. I don't understand this team. Oh, well. There it is. There it is. And other news as well. The other day, Janoris Jenkins decided to use, and they're saying it's the R word, which is crazy. I'll just say it. He called a fan a retard, which you can't do. Well, today he was waived. He was not contrite. He showed no remorse for what he said. He basically said, this is, you know, cultural for me. So, hey, sorry, I guess. That's basically the way he said it. He said, it was just slang, fam. It's part of my culture. So, I will say this to everyone, really understand what I'm saying. There's a guy that played football in Philadelphia a few years ago that was at a concert throwing the N-word around left and right. He did not lose his job. And he wasn't even a very good wide receiver. He was okay. But he tried to show contrition, apologized. Certain players on his team didn't want to mess with him. But Michael Vick, who was quarterback in the Eagles at the time, threw his arm around him and said, hey, look, man, don't like what you did, but I'll accept your apology. Guess what? Kept his job. Norris Jenkins was obviously better than this bum was. Really didn't. No. He sent a tweet. I just want to thank the organization for the opportunity, and good luck to my brothers that remain a Giant. Again, want my fans to know my intentions were always pure and genuine. Excuse me. Jenkins has 1 year left, 11.25 million remain on his contract. It shows here a team can claim him for the final 2 weeks, plus the playoffs for $1.2 million after Jenkins was officially listed as being on waivers injured, as he has been recovering from an ankle injury. So let me go back and check that about Suggs. Maybe he can still hop on the playoff team. If I'm wrong, I apologize for what I said before. But I don't apologize to the Cardinals for waiving this guy now. And if you think they're going to win another game, then I've got some oceanfront property in Yuma to sell you. I owe you a couple things. I want to do this. I meant to get in on the show yesterday. I apologize big time. But here are the Power 10. Here's the thing. The number one team isn't going to change. So it really doesn't matter. And then following that, I will give you your lines. I will put money in your pocket. But let's go through this quickly. Number 10, the Titans. Number 9, the Vikings. Number 8, KC. 7, Buffalo. 6, New England. And I believe Buffalo is going to beat New England when they play them next, and they will flip-flop. New England is the worst 10-win team in football. Green Bay at 5, the Saints at 4, Seattle at 3. I know Seattle looked bad against the Rams. I don't care. That team is good. The 49ers at 2, and can you doubt the Ravens at 1? Let's put the money in your pocket. Last week, I gave you 3 surefires. If you're in Vegas or any place that gambling is allowed, I helped you out. So here we go. Seattle goes to Carolina. They're a 6.5-point favorite. Carolina, basically a touchdown dog at home. They're a bad team, man. Kyle Allen is terrible. They have McCaffrey. That's all they have. Take Seattle. Take the points. Philadelphia, Washington. Washington is a 5.5-point dog at home. Honestly, Philadelphia did not show me a lot last week. They were in a dogfight against the Giants. The only thing they have going for them in this game is Washington has a rookie quarterback. Darius Geis is out. They only have McLaurin at receiver, AP at running back. This is a real twist my arm, take Philadelphia. But take Philadelphia, twist my arm, and if I say you don't, pass on that bet because I'm not really giving you that one with all my heart. Houston at Tennessee. Tennessee is a 3-point favorite. This is a game that worries me because Houston's 4-0 following the loss. So I'm going to say take Houston to win outright. I don't like that. New England at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a 10-point dog at home. It should be a bigger dog than that, even though New England can't score. The Giants, 3-point favorite over Miami. I'm not too sure about that one. Miami got holes last week, last time they were in New York. Take Miami. Denver, KC. KC favored by 10. Denver put a whooping on Texas last week. Excuse me, the Houston Texans last week. They're going to be in this game. Take the points. Chicago, Green Bay. Green Bay is a 4.5-point favorite. You're going to say I'm a homer. Take Chicago in the points. Tampa Bay goes to Denver. Tampa Bay goes to Detroit. Detroit's a 4-point dog at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That tells you everything you need to know. Take the points. Jacksonville goes on the road to Oakland. Oakland playing the very last time in Oakland. The Raiders are their 6.5-point favorite. Take them. Take the points. Arizona's a 3-point dog at home to Cleveland. They just cut probably their best pass rusher. Take Cleveland and the points. Minnesota goes to the Chargers. Chargers are a 1.5-point dog. Remember what the Chargers did to Green Bay. But then remember who the Chargers are. Take Minnesota. Take the points. Atlanta, San Fran. San Fran is a 10.5-point favorite at home. Atlanta, they do have weapons. They can do some things. No. Take San Francisco. Take the points. The Rams go to Dallas to play the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a 1.5-point dog at home. This is the type of game Dallas wins. Dallas will win this game. Buffalo goes to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh at home is a 1.5-point favorite. I like Mike Tomlin. I like what Mike Tomlin's done with this team. I think he's the coach of the year. I think Buffalo beats Pittsburgh. And then on Monday night, Indianapolis goes to New Orleans. New Orleans a 9-point favorite over Indianapolis. New Orleans is pissed, man. Saints aren't happy. Take them. Take the points. So I've given you the teams. I've given you your money. We've talked about everything we need to talk about. The weekend is here. It's Friday the 13th. I'm going to go get my rabbit's foot, and I'm going to go into this weekend, and we're going to get going. On the Twitter, on the Facebook, on the Instagram, at Sports Cave, Caves with a K. TheSportsCave.com. Again, the cave is with a K. Tomorrow, don't forget, the Rocky Patel release at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. That's 4991 South Alma School in Chandler Heights. It's from 4 to 8. 4 to 8. Make sure you are there. Until next week, listen, everyone. I thank you for joining us. Everyone have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Until Monday, this has been the KHOPLR. This is PLR. Take care, everyone.